see the way they hate. And I know better than to listen to the people who are calling us names.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Brian, and today is Monday, April 21st, 2024. Wait, it's the 22nd. Monday, April 22nd, 2024. And this is episode 681 of the Lots Project podcast, and it's titled Anything But Drywall. I'll be chatting about starting to talk cabin plans with Corey, a great night with friends this weekend, and also what else we did this weekend. And so much more. First, let's check out in the live chat, see who's hanging out, see who is hanging out in the coffee crew. Grab a cup and hang out for about an hour. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Pip says it's National Drug Test Day, and I obviously failed with, I don't even know what the date is. Chris Dixon says the days blend in when you're homeless. Good morning to you too, Chris. Good morning, Cormac. Rachel Hunter over on Twitch. How we doing? How we doing? Monday morning, Monday morning. Jim, I don't know if I caught you in that little bit of a intro there, but Pip says, I don't need to test to know that I take drugs. It's like, I'll test most drugs. So, like, pharmaceuticals, probably not, but I'll test whatever you got. Good morning. Good morning, Backwoods Butcher. Drywall. I hate drywall. I mean, you could be talking for me right there. Hey, hold on, guys. I forgot to flip on the Telegram stream. Let me click that on. We'll see who's over in the vertical chat. Also, who's in over at Noster. And we'll get rolling here in just a second. It's a rough one. It's definitely Monday morning, guys. It is definitely Monday morning. It was a rough day yesterday. I was exhausted yesterday for some reason. I'll talk about it a little bit. Kyle says, somebody get me a monster to unleash your Kyle rage. Kyle, why do you need to unleash your rage? Why do you have so much pent-up anger? You should be happy. I believe your wife got home and relieved you from child duty. Chris says, drug test day, there will be a safe word. Will there be a safe word? Lisa Davis, good morning. Just took my first sip of coffee. Good morning. I've been halfway through this. You guys are lucky I'm halfway through my first cup, because before I started sipping this, it would have been even more incoherent than it is right now. Kyle's worried about doing drywall. Do you even have drywall you need to do, or are you just feeling angst because I said the word? Oh, let's pop over on Noster, see if anybody's there. I see that little yellow head, that little yellow smiley face. That means Jim's in the chat over on Noster. Good morning, Jim, in all the places. In all the places. Appreciate it. I appreciate it for sure. And Chris Dixon figured it out. Kyle drinks his monster and then punches holes in the drywall, and then he has to fix it. Ah, I see. I see. I hope everybody had a good weekend. It was the holidays for those that participate in the cannabis world. 420, long legend behind there. I did a show with somebody in the cannabis industry last year on Kyle. I don't speak in Kyle's language, I guess. He's got that kid language or something. Last year I did an episode on 420 with Dustin Hawksworth from Fat Nugs magazine, and that was good. So yeah, it was a good weekend. It was a good weekend here in Tennessee. I know they had a few legalization rallies, one up in Jackson I saw advertisement for, and I believe there were some in Nashville and Knoxville, from what I saw just rolling through on Facebook. So Chris Dixon says it would have been good. It's good that he had teenage boys, or it'd have been lost on him too. Kyle is about right in there with that teenage boy mentality, I believe. So anyway, let's get rolling with it. What's in the cup today? Today I have a continuation of that bag from the end of last week, the medium light Guatemalan. And it's perfect. It's perfect. Not sure if we'll see Pickle Pete this week or today. He took a little weekend trip, I think. That's good. That is good. That's good stuff. Food Forest Farms C4 Club comes every month. Once a month, they ships out your order to you, and then you have it for the rest of the month. Sends out a variety. You get to talk with him, work out what you want. Maybe you like one specific type of coffee and that's all you want to drink. He will get that for you and hand roast it in his small batch micro batch clean air stream air roaster. The stuff tastes fantastic. I've never had coffee that I think I would choose over what Brian sends me every month. So definitely give it a try. LOTS 10 will get you 10% off at the Food Forest Farms website. Order something up. Maybe you don't know what you like, and you can work with Brian. Just send him a message and ask or let him know maybe where you grew up, where you started drinking coffee, what your preference is, what you think your preference is, and he will formulate something up for you. Send it out, and you can do some taste testing. And man, he is the real deal. Customer service above and beyond anything else. So definitely give Food Forest Farms a look and order some coffee. I don't think you'll be disappointed. Even if you just order 1 pound and give it a try, I don't think you'll be disappointed. It is well worth the money. Sorry, you folks up above the border. It's only in the U.S. So, wah, wah, wah. Light, medium, Guatemalan in the cup. Daily Stoic did it again yesterday, guys. Daily Stoic. Rewild Their Life. That's perfect. Rewild Their Life says she started drinking coffee when started teaching preschool to 103 to 5-year-olds. No, thank you. No, thank you. Isn't that one of those, do you think you could? Or would you rather questions where you have to fight the toddlers or something? Chris Dixon says, it's okay, we have maple syrup to sip. I sipped maple syrup this weekend, actually. Kind of. Not really. Sort of. Better than maple syrup. Friends of ours, I'm going to talk about it later, we hung out with on Friday night, I believe. Corey, what was the stuff called? Acer Glen? I could be pronouncing it wrong. I could have it completely wrong. But our friends make cider and all sorts of other fermented goodness. And they made something that was basically fermented maple syrup. Maple syrup. Acer Glend, I believe, is what it's called. It's similar to mead, but no honey. They said that a lot of the people that make it, you can add up to, like, I believe he said 40% water and ferment it down. They actually choose to use maple sap, which is the majority water anyway, but they don't add anything. It was like straight maple syrup with maple sap and then fermented down so that it was super dry. Like all the sweetness was out of it. It was interesting. I don't know. Like I basically quit drinking again to the point where, I mean, I'll try things. It's not if I feel like it crosses my lips, I'll never be able to stop again type of quitting. It was more of I just don't like how I feel when I drink. And if I grab one, I'll probably feel like shit in the morning. So I just was like, yeah, this is stupid. But, you know, something comes around like that, or Corey was trying a new bottle of whiskey or something like that, I'll give it a try. I'm always open to that. And this was interesting stuff. I don't know if I could do it all night. I think it would be a really nice thing to maybe sit around and have a half a bottle. And they said a half a bottle between the two of them will get you a good start to the night. Said you drink one bottle, a whole 16-ounce bottle by yourself, and it'll put you in a giggly mood for sure. I think it was, I think they said it was up around 15% alcohol. So you didn't taste, it was weird. It was, you definitely didn't taste any alcohol going down. You caught the alcohol in the first breath, like in your exhale. And then you could feel the alcohol in the back of your throat, up into your nose. It wasn't overpowering by any means. Going down, it almost was like water. Like you'd expect to take a sip and you expected it to have some, like a really rich flavor. And it was really, really a lot like water. And the flavor was on the backside. The maple flavor, and you have to imagine maple flavor with no sweetness. And that was always the thing when I was making mead, was trying to figure out the flavor of, you guys all laid down and good now, don't need to bounce my camera around anymore. Cool. The flavor, you had to kind of guess the flavor minus the sweet. So if you were flavoring with oranges, Dixon says the flavor's on the backside. Someone clipped that. I mean, you got to get in that booty, man. but it was something that you had to mess around with mead. When you were trying to think of things to flavor it with, like obviously you flavor it with cinnamon or vanilla, something like that. It really is, it is almost true to the flavor. But when you got into some of the fruits, like blueberries, we tried to use like local berries that we would get at the farmer's market. And it was similar, but there was always the lacking. We liked ours really dry. We'd ferment out all the sugar. So you were trying to grab that flavor without the sweetness in it and try to guess what that was. So just a little bit of homebrew insights for you guys, because I was such a master brewer. I made mead for about a year. It was good stuff. It's good stuff for sure. Anyway, that was the my maple syrup this weekend. And Chris said he said maple syrup, maple moonshine this weekend. Sounds good. Sounds good. But anyway, I was getting to that Daily Stoic. So the Daily Stoic. Thanks for the zap over there, Jim. I appreciate it. Daily Stoic yesterday was about attention. And obviously, if you listen to this show, you know that I have a problem with attention. It's like a shiny thing or a squirrel drives by. Guys, squirrel drives by and it grabs my attention for sure. But attention is something that anybody that's observant in the world today knows that our attention span is like going down through the shitter with things like TikTok and apps and things like that. Good morning, for Canadian Farmstead. Thanks for swinging in. So I've been struggling focusing, I guess. I've been happy with the amount of work I've been getting done, but I really have started to notice some things, and it has a lot to do with Tennessee, actually. With the fact that Tennessee, my phone doesn't work here, basically. Very infrequently. Maybe I'm lucky when it works, when I go to do laundry and have time in town there. But around here, it's so hit and miss whether my phone works or not. If I'm here at the camper and I turn off Wi-Fi and I go right to cell signal, I can barely even load a web page with the signal I have. So at Delinquent's Gully, a property that I'm working on with Tim, it's pretty much non-existent for me. And it took a while. So we've been here a year. I've been going out to Delinquent's Gully for a year. If you listen to the show for that long, you recall that it was a big deal for us to try to figure out communication. 2.3 seconds, according to Hunter's analytics. That falls right in line with what John Willis was talking about at SRF when I was asking him questions about that in his public interview presentation. Basically, at SRF, John gets up on stage and says, "Ask me questions." Chris says his side of the matrix is glitchy today. Is anybody else glitchy? Because I did move the Starlink this weekend, and it appears as though I haven't lost any signal yet. So, yeah, I don't know. Anybody else glitchy today? Because my signal appears to be better than it has over the last few weeks. So we will see. Canadian Farm says it's fine there. Chris, you're out of luck, Chris. Anyway, so heading out to Delinquent's Gully, it was a big deal when Corey and I were trying to figure out communications, emergency comms, things like that, which we've kind of gone through. We've kind of figured it out. We've kind of, made it work for us. And it's been a year kind of rolling through it. The other day on my way home, I had it was like an epiphany, basically. When I leave Delinquent Scully, if I'm there for a decent amount of time, say I'm there for 5-6 hours. Now, you have to understand that I have, hey, K-Bonk, how we doing? I have several email accounts. I have several different things that are sending me notifications. I have a lot of notifications turned off, but stuff that's kind of time sensitive, I want to say 24-hour response time, that I don't want everything to get kind of bogged up or stacked up, I leave those notifications on. Good morning, Blake's Lee Acres. Thanks for swinging in. So I get a lot of notifications during the day, and I really didn't understand how many I got until one day I was driving home from Delinquent's Gully, and my phone, instead of throwing it in the console of the truck, it was in my pocket. And when I get service, so like Hunter says, just my local dead zones, there are local pockets on my drive home where I'll get like 3 bars of 4G even. And it's long enough that my phone connects. And literally, it doesn't stop buzzing. It's receiving notifications from all the different things. And I like, sorry guys, I have hiccups a little bit. I look at my phone after, and I don't understand how it gets so far across the top bar full of notifications. So at one point I was like, that's a lot. And especially sitting there and going, all right, I was gone for 5 hours. Look at all of that. And I realized it was every time that happened, it was distracting me individually. So if I was sitting here working on stuff on my laptop, every time that thing went off, it was bam, bam, bam. Yesterday, Daily Stoic was talking about dividing attention and making sure you pay attention. Otherwise, you'll start to make mistakes. Otherwise, you'll start to miss out on things. Otherwise, you'll make bad decisions. I don't know if that was necessarily the thing. Mike's Homestead says now he makes sure his phone is in his pocket when he heads out. I mean, why not? why not? That was the epiphany I had. Thanks, Mike. By the way, the Comfrey you brought out last fall is doing fantastic. Chris Dixon says front pocket. Oh, well, you know, depending on the day. Sometimes it goes in my prison wallet just for the drive home. So I think I might start using airplane mode at home. Essentially, when I go to Delinquent Scully, my battery will kind of go down very fast. So if I don't have my phone fully charged when I get there, I'll throw it on airplane mode just so it doesn't die in case I need it, in case I need to try to figure out how to use it. And I will get the, you know, emergency calls only service. So if I had to call 911, maybe it'll happen. But I've considered now taking chunks of my day at home and throwing my phone on airplane mode and getting some work done. Really? Well, the Starlink's moved and the Starlink's good, but obviously my laptop is unsteady at the moment. Sorry about the shaky screen, guys. So I've been considering airplane mode. I think I'm going to start to throw that on, try to avoid some distractions, try to avoid all the notifications, because obviously I can't have enough self-discipline to just set my phone somewhere else. Normally I'm looking things up on it, and that's the thing. Like, I work both on the computer and the phone at the same time. When I'm waiting for something to process on the computer, I pick up the phone and do something on there. And I'm really trying to start to dial in working on one thing at once. Or two at the most. Rather Life says, I like the idea. I have mine off at 7 p.m. Helps me sleep better with no screen time. I've also been considering that too, cutting out the blue light stuff. At a certain time, I do get a lot of, I don't want to say, I guess it would be considered research. I do get a lot of poking around and following up on things that I've thought about throughout the day when I lay in bed before I go to sleep, as I'm kind of letting everything wind down. I have a running list of things I just want to check in on. And I've never been able to fall asleep, even before screen time. I understand that people have a tough time when they use their phone too late at night, and it can keep you up. I've always had a tough time falling asleep, even back into my teens before the cell phone was even a thing. So I don't know. I don't know what the solution there is for the evening time, but I have also contemplated getting it like gone. After a certain time, like Rachel says, at 7 or 8 or whatever it is, and help sleep a little bit better. Chris Dixon says there are only two or three apps I have notifications turned on for and do not disturb for everything but text and phone calls from 9 to 6. I mean, I turn everything off overnight. The only, like, my phone is literally on silent most of the times. And I say I get notifications. It's not that I get audio notifications. I just get the notification on the bar. And how and the fact that I work on both the phone and my laptop turns, thanks, Hunter. Turns, it's all my, I don't know, my phone's been on silent for months, I think, but as I open my phone to do something on it, I can't help but try to clear those notifications. So if they're not even there, if it's not even connected, then I can help myself. But it's just been this, I think it's been an incremental obsession, addiction, conditioning to go just like I gotta clear it. I can't let it sit there. I can't just let it sit there. So I don't know. It's like I have to clear the notification on my phone, but my inbox, one of my inboxes I looked the other day has like 14,000 messages in my inbox. They're all been cleared notification, but they're all new. It's like a junk inbox. It's the one I use to sign up for shit. But yeah, like 14,000 emails or something since I've dumped the whole thing empty. Rewilder Life says, see my dead, her brain's dead by seven. So all she does is scroll. Yeah, I actually like chewing on stuff before I fall asleep. I feel like I process it well overnight while I'm sleeping. And the nights that I'm really intrigued by something and I fall asleep, I feel like I sleep better. I don't know if it gives my brain something to do and chew on and less distractions for it to wake up. I don't know. But it seems like when I really find something interesting before I go to bed and read it, I sleep better. I don't know. And Hunter says, before cell phones, wow. Like, really? It was this weekend. We got talking. Oh, we were at our get together on Friday night where I tried the Acer Glen. Somebody mentioned that, you know, way back before everybody had Google Maps on their phone. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm trying to align this time period that he's talking about. And I started talking with Corey the next day and I said, I remember when we first met, when Corey and I first met, that I was still using a standalone Garmin, that I was using the Garmin Dustsoft MapQuest. Yeah. Even after MapQuest, before Google Maps on your phone. And that was 2008. So I don't know how long ago it's been that Google Maps has been on everybody's phone. What was that, like 2010? Canadian Farm says, I'm old enough to have printed off MapQuest. I'm old enough before there was fucking internet. And we used a damn map that you bought. Like you literally went to the gas station and you bought a map and you opened it up and found out where you were. That's how old I am. There was no printing. There was no printing off a map on that dot matrix printer. It looked like the map from Oregon Trail. Pip says he's old enough to have used an actual map. I don't think it's within arm reach right at the moment, but I literally have a Rand McNally Atlas. Jim's like, you kids crack me up. I used to navigate by the stars. They didn't even have maps when I was a kid. Chris Dixon says, still have paper maps. The pinpoint of the Google Maps is a nice upgrade. I mean, it is. I'm not saying that I despise the technology of having a navigation system in my pocket. That's pretty phenomenal. Jim had chiseled tablets for maps. Guys, they installed a new road in the Roman Empire. We're going to have to redo the maps. Get out the chisel and the blank rock. Rewilder Life says, we use paper maps. Use them when we travel. We use both. That was Corey and I. We would use the GPS. We actually used two separate GPS and then also had the paper map. And before we would leave, the night before we would leave on our next road trip, we would map out from where we were to where we were going on the paper map, just in case shit went down. In case we didn't have any service, we could open up that. And we knew the general route we were at, and then we could dial in because, yes, we were both experienced in using maps. Hunter says, funny, I was looking at a sexton at the store yesterday. What is a sexton? I don't know what that is. Is that like a standalone GPS? Canadian Farmstead, Jim had the first maps on tablets. Stone tablets. Poor Jim. Poor Jim and his age. Oh, Rewilder Life says we've traveled to enough places that had zero service. Yeah. Oh, the old ship navigation. Oh, okay. I gotcha. Sweet. Did you get it? Did you pick it up? Are you going to be navigating a ship anytime soon? So the title of the show today, if anybody's been around for states used to give them away at rest stops. K-Bonk says, paper maps, states used to give them away at the rest stops. When Corey and I took our first trip from Minnesota to Squatch Fest to see Brian out there in Seattle, we were driving through like North Dakota, Montana, and Idaho. And I was like, I think we should collect maps from every state we go to. Me being a hoarder, Corey says from the back. Jim says, you preppers don't have paper maps in your car. I had an atlas. We had a full country road atlas. Rand McNally. It was expensive. It was, it's nice. I really like it. But I wanted to have the paper map, the folded up little paper map from each state. And I stopped at a rest stop because, like K-Bonk said, I remember when they gave paper maps away at rest areas. Like, you'd go in and they had all the touristy brochures and everything. And then there would be free paper maps for usually the state you were in and the surrounding states that you would be going to when you left. So I recall that. Yeah, not anymore. I had to like hunt them down at like a gas station and they were like $2. Wait, what? Why? Rewilder Life says our map books are the really nice ones truckers have. Yeah, we have several for our state and then a big state one. Pip says, I started looking for paper maps while headed to SRF and only found them in Tennessee. I mean, it is what it is. Triptychs. Corey's mom. Does your mom still do the triptychs? From AAA? Probably. did you guys ever use triptychs? Oh, Jim, right there. Old man Jim comes running in. He probably remembers the advent of AAA and used to do them with highlighter on triptychs. Yeah, triptychs are basically, you'd go to AAA and tell them where you wanted to go, and they would print a thing out that would give you how to get there, all the sites on the way, all sorts of fun, interesting sites to see. Corey's mom still uses AAA for quite a bit of stuff, and I think triptychs are one of them. Man, it's bouncy in here today. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, title of the show today was anything but drywall. I've kind of tiptoed around the thing here in the last couple of weeks, but Corey and I have met our goal of sticking around Tennessee for a year to kind of get acclimated to see what we think. Pip says puppies sit down. Yeah, they are. Don't worry, they're flopping down from standing up. Like one of them just like drops. But yeah. Anyway, so we've been here for about a year. We wanted to stick around. We wanted to see the weather all year round. We wanted to see if it was just experience it for a year. That was what we wanted to do before we found our first property. And then kind of develop that to whatever means we wanted, and then move on and do it kind of again. This isn't a short-term thing that we decided to do. This wasn't a little adventure to just do and be done with. It's more of a long-term plan where we want to go. We want to make sure, especially for the first one, that's kind of going to be a home base for us. We wanted to make sure it was the right area. Well, we've been here for a year. We do feel that as far as a home base, a year-round get back here, we could make it work. Not too overly hot in the summer and not too overly cold in the winter. Kind of a median area where it just makes sense. The least amount of inputs in the extremes. Like, we could make do without air conditioning if we needed to. The dogs would absolutely die, but Corey and I in the summer could make do without air conditioning here. We could get by just with wood heat, which we did all this winter in this non-insulated cabin or trailer. So we felt that this is a good place. So we're starting to figure out what to do, whether to buy 2 acres or 5 acres or 10 acres. We're working on that deal. That is in the works. But what we want to do is build a cabin and have that cabin and kind of build it from the ground up, build it by hand. Nothing crazy, nothing super, super elegant. It's not going to be huge. We still want to really stick with that minimalist theme. And tiny living, not necessarily a tiny house, but kind of the best of both sides of it. Make it something that we build out that we can leave for extended periods of time, that if we wanted to go and build out another property, maybe have one for summer and one for winter. And then if we just want to be here any time of the year, we can come here, utilize it for other purposes when we're not here. And so we're looking. And one of the parts of the process is going to be designing that cabin. And so Corey and I, Chris Dixon says log cabin or stick. It's going to be stick built. I'm not really sure for sure. Been contemplating back and forth on maybe almost a small pole barn style or stick built. It won't be log cabin. It won't be log. It will be, we're thinking it'll probably be something like a 16 by 32, either stick built or pole barn style. And with three rooms basically, and a bathroom. But that's what we're at now. But we started talking about it and laying it out and kind of feeling, tell him I sent you. Oh, great website. Oh, probably in the Telegram group, I suppose. basically working on just generalities with the cabin, just getting general specs. Like, what do you want? Do you want, like Chris says, log cabin or stick built? Do we want a big old porch on the front, or do we want a smaller porch, or like the general stuff? Obviously, until we get the piece of property and stand there and figure out exactly what we want, we're just getting rough dimensions and this and that. And so we're sitting there talking about it the other day, and we're shooting floor plans back and forth and drawing them out on graph paper and all that. And it's really enjoyable. And I looked at Corey and I was like, so what do you want to finish the walls with? Like the inside. Because like in Minnesota, our house basically didn't have drywall for 3 or 4 of the years. Take the ride. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for stopping in. Am I missing messages here? Hold on. Okay, never mind. Never mind. I see it over the Telegram chat. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. So we're sitting there. Our house in Minnesota didn't have drywall. We had many many intentions, but we had to like finish it before we sealed up the walls. If you recall, when we went to sell our house, we had to have drywall put up. Potential buyers really volunteered to put it up. That didn't go so well. And so I looked at Corey, and I absolutely hate fucking drywall. I hate it. It's like the one thing I don't want to do. And so I started talking to Corey about wall coverings, and I said, hey, what kind of finish do you want on walls? You want like paneling? You want like rough cut lumber? You want like plastic, linoleum? I don't know what you want on the walls, but it isn't going to be fucking drywall. I'm not going to carry it. I'm not going to work with it. I'm not going to finish it. I'm not going to tape it. I'm not going to mud it. I'm not going to fucking fix it after the dog's head goes through it or something stupid. I just can't stand the shit. I don't want anything to do with it. So I will consider any wall coverings besides drywall. And she looks at me and goes, did you have a bad experience with drywall? And I looked at her and it was almost like I could feel the steam coming out of my ears. I could feel the, oh, Hunter says it's so damn heavy and a million other things. It's fucking messy. It's just, oh, I just hate it. Hate everything about it. Corey asked if I had had a bad experience. I don't know how, it looks like we got 13 people watching right now. How many remember what we went through with our drywall when we were selling the house? Who was around for that? So that would have been like a 2 years ago? Going on 2 years ago? That might have been, what was that, like August? No, August? So it must have been August. So we'll be up here on 2 years ago. Canadian Farmstead remembers. Yeah. That was kind of the... that was pre-Jim. Jim, you missed a good one there. You missed a good one. Pip says it was just before his time. You guys missed out. You really missed out. K-Bonk remembers. Peptridge Farms remembers. That was kind of like my final straw with drywall. I had my moments with it growing up, doing remodels, working, like living different places, helping people, doing side jobs, all that. Like it was bearable until then. I think if we had stayed in our house long term, in Minnesota, obviously I would have finished the drywall there. I started to do the drywall in the garage, and it was just to that point where I was like, I'm done. Good morning, Black Wolf Man. How we doing over on Twitch? Hey, Hunter, you got a friend over on Twitch now. You guys play nice over there, okay? So I would have done it. I would have done it until now. Until now. If you don't recall, if you weren't around, we had no drywall on our walls. And when we went to sell the house, the people that wanted to buy the house, good morning, John Palmer. The people that wanted to buy the house, their loan was dependent on the walls being sealed. Basically, their mortgage company said, put drywall up. Chris says it's so easy. I mean, so easy, someone else could do it. They needed the walls to be sealed, closed up, which I get, I understand. We were selling it as is. They needed to get a loan. And so they said, hey, we can do it. We can do the drywall. We really want the house. We need the house and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. And I talked to the realtor and he's like, yeah, they sound like they can do it. They're offering to do it. They're going to buy the material. They're going to get it done. And I was like, rock and roll. Go ahead. Like, who volunteers to do that shit when you don't know how to do it? I assumed it was fine. Long story short, they didn't know what the fuck they were doing. They didn't know anything about doing drywall. They cut fucking drywall in my living room with a skill saw. And then they ditched. When they realized they had no fucking clue what they were doing, they just left. And then they didn't buy the house. And then I had to clean all the fucking shit up. Do you know how much dust drywall sends everywhere in a whole empty house when they cut it with a fucking skill saw? Yeah, everywhere. Do you know how many times I had to wash the fucking wood floors in my house before I could sell it? Before I could show it again? Do you know how many pieces of drywall they got up in 2 days? 2 days of working. I think they got 7 pieces of drywall up. And they weren't even in the right order. Like, one was over on one wall, one was on the ceiling. If you roll back in my TikTok to August, I suppose it would be August of 22? August of 22, maybe? Yeah. Rewilder Life knows. Yeah. I imagine you would be the one that could commiserate with me the most. That was my final straw with drywall. Like, I didn't even have to do anything other than clean up their fucking shitty mess, but it was done. Like, that time in my life, K-Bong says you were hot. Yeah, that time in my life, that whole, like, month of my life was probably the closest I have been to having to be committed to an insane asylum. Probably the closest. Between my job, between the stress of trying to leave and sell the place with this shit going, falling through. It was rough. Like, the day it all was done, the day it was all done, it was, yeah. Telegram chat. Uh-oh. Telegram's down. Weird. Interesting. Do you remember those rainbow vacuums? No water. Yeah. Oh, it was. Well, the thing was, it wouldn't vacuum up from the floor because the floors weren't finished. They were original hardwood floors that had layers and layers and layers of shit on top of them. We had cleaned them down to rough. They were okay. Basically, after the drywall and everything was done, all they needed to be done had was have the sander run over them and finished. Like, they were maybe a little leveling, but early 1900s hardwood floor. And I tried vacuuming them. And because it was a little rough, the dust wouldn't come up. So basically it was get a wet rag, wring it out as much as I can until it's just damp, and wipe the floor. And then come behind it with a clean dry rag and wipe the floor. And I literally did board by board and the cracks in between the boards to get it clean enough to start showing again. Rewilder Life says scrub brush on the knees. Yeah, it was on hands and knees, one board at a time, and I just may or may not have brought bags and bags and bags of shop rags home from work. And I would just get them wet, wring them out, wipe it, and then wipe it dry immediately. And after about 3 or 4 times, the white fog would kind of go away. Kind of. It was, I can't do drywall again. It was like, I have this mental block. Like, literally, if somebody wants to do it, I guess if they sign a contract that says they will come and fix it anytime that a piece needs to be fixed. All right, maybe. Jim says Diet Coke gets rid of the drywall haze. Would you spill your lunch drink or something and figure that one out? Coke will also clean your toilet. So that's, no drywall. And from the looks of things, if things go as planned, I don't think I'm going to want to carry that drywall where I'm going to need to anyway. Especially how easily it can be damaged. And Chris Dixon says the Coke is super dusty. That's why you lick your finger and clean it up that way. Yeah, drywall. Rewilder Life says I'm afraid to try it on the veneers. They call wood. I was looking into Jim says that's how you drywall for 16 hours. No shit. The dude that showed up to do my drywall, like after that whole deal and I got it cleaned up, I hired someone to do it. Let's just say he wanted some cash down and I was hesitant to do it because I didn't know if he would show up again. But I figured if he showed up again, he would probably be able to work for a long time straight. Guy did a fantastic job. He helped us out. He got it done super fast. He did a really nice job, but I'm guessing he could probably work for extended periods of time after he got paid cash. Rewilder Life says Coke and meth, drywall guys. Yeah. Jim says we were on Coke back then before meth. You were probably in the time period with good meth, like just methamphetamine, not bathtub Drano meth, like where you could just get amphetamine pills and take them, right? 70s? Or are you way before that, Jim? Like 40s? When they had cocaine in the Coke. Oh, yeah. Haas wonders. Good morning, Haas. Wondered what Monster Energy drink cleans. I don't know. Ask Kyle. Jim says before crack was crack. Right? For sure. Rewilder Life says that's how grandma got it all done. Coke in the Coca-Cola and mother's little helpers in the cocktail at night, right? Keeps her up, puts her to sleep. And we wondered why everybody was so happy back in the day. I mentioned earlier we moved Starlink. That went well. That went well. I got up there, I pulled it down. Our package came from Amazon. So what I picked up was, I think it was classified as outside cable cover. I wasn't sure if they were going to be like hard plastic, like what material they're really going to be. And when they showed up, the box was super heavy. It's like, it's probably 30 pounds, I think was 30, 35 pounds, the box. And basically, they're hard rubber, molded hard rubber speed bumps, tiny speed bumps, I would guess you would call them, with a channel run down the middle, basically made for cables, hoses, whatever you want to run across the driveway and still be able to drive over it. It got 160 inches, 440-inch pieces for $60. And basically you just set them across the driveway and run the cable underneath. So we were able to run the Starlink over into the opening where I think it might work. I think it might work there. We waited for the obstruction map to kind of repopulate once I moved it. It shows a little bit of obstruction, but the app is telling me that it's unobstructed. So basically, I think the stuff that's covering it just isn't, it's sporadic enough that it can grab a signal wherever it is. So we will see. We will see. If it doesn't work, I will have to break out my my extra long cable that the company sent me to test out, aftermarket Starlink cable, and see how that works. It would give me an extra 100 feet. I believe the cable they sent is 75 feet that comes with it. The cable I got from the aftermarket company is 175 feet. So get an extra 100 feet away from the trees. But we're going to roll with it here and see how it happens. Hopefully the landowner, when he mows the lawn, doesn't decide to chop up my cable. We'll see. We'll see. But so far, so good. that worked well. I got that off the roof. It's about time to buy a new ladder, because right now we use our ladder to hang our water heater for our shower. So anytime I have to go on the roof or use the ladder, I got to take apart the shower and then put it back together, and it's a pain in the ass. So now the fact that we know we are going to be building somewhere relatively soon, and doing work and needing a ladder, it sounds like Brian's going to get a new ladder. It was a good day. Got that moved. Take the Ride wondered if you have to sign a year contract for Starlink. No, I don't believe so. I don't believe so. I could be wrong. We signed up for it over 2 years, going on 2 years, a year and a half now. I don't think there is a yearly contract. You do have to buy the equipment up front, which is a pretty decent chunk. And I think once they get that, they don't really care. You can turn it on, turn it off, month to month. You also have to be sure you buy the right package. If you're going to be sitting where you're at, you can get the residential package. And then an extra, I think it's $20 a month, you can get anywhere package, where you can basically go anywhere you want and get service. But if you buy the lower price package monthly, you have to use it from a fixed address. So yeah, it's good. I think we wouldn't be doing this if we didn't have it. We realized quickly after we took off, and to make myself not feel bad about it, Starlink wasn't available when we planned this. When I built out the trailer, Starlink was just starting and not even available for most people that were in residential spots and far from being ready for roaming, mobile use. So I really built the trailer out with the plans of using cell phone data, router, and a lot of the places we want to be. Most of the places we've been actually have no cell phone signal. So without Starlink, we probably wouldn't have lasted very long doing this, because that allows Corey to work every day. That allows me to get all this stuff done that I do. And I don't think we would have done it with the cell phone router. I don't think it would have happened. So thanks, Elon. Thanks, Elon, for all the stuff I love and hate about you. At least I love that for sure. And I continue to give you money every month because it helps me do what I'm doing. Yay, Starlink. yesterday, I'm way behind, guys. If you guys look forward to and watch the weekly update for the Amazon Influencer Program, dropped the ball on that baby yesterday, along with a bunch of other stuff. I was just done. Like yesterday, it was one of those days where you just can't get motivated to do anything. And the more you don't do anything, more tired you get. And I basically said, fuck it, and just crashed for the day. I sat and watched nonsense on Amazon. I just didn't really do anything. I took a couple of snoozes where I was just sitting in the chair and I was tired. So hopefully today is better. Every once in a while, I need that. Every few weeks, I'll just have a day where I just don't do shit. And it was needed. I usually beat myself up about it, but yesterday I was just like, okay, roll with it. So I got to make up for that. I got to get that video out. I had done 14 weeks in a row, and this will be week 15, and I need to get that done and get that posted. There's a bunch. I got a backlog of product videos I have to make, and I could have probably got a bunch of them done yesterday. I was going to do an Amazon Live again. Didn't do that. It was a really shitty day. But I think I needed it. I think I really needed it. I got to spend time with Corey, hang out with her, bullshit with her. We did a little cabin planning, so we did get some stuff done. But some days you just got to let her go. Some days you just got to let it go and get caught up. So that was yesterday. That was my day. Other than that, I think we're going to wrap up. We're up over an hour. I didn't see Pickle Pete here. I know he had some stuff going on this weekend. I don't know if he's going to be doing his show this morning after this. I assume not. Chris Dixon says you got to take those days, put your feet up and let it be. Yeah, it was pretty much that. And I think my body just told me, yeah, just stop for a minute. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you get week 15 up on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or whatever. Just make sure you do it. I have the notes. All I have to do is record it and edit it. I got a bunch of videos to do this week. I got other stuff I have to do this week. So we'll just make it happen. It's just another day. It's just another day. It's not a race. It's a marathon. Isn't a marathon a race? Anyway, guys, I appreciate everybody watching. We'll get it wrapped up for Monday. If you enjoyed the show, it's always free to hit that like, share, and subscribe. To return value for value, please consider joining one of the YouTube membership tiers or listening on any value for value platform like Podverse or Fountain.fm. There should be some good clips from this morning for sure. You can also visit thelotsproject.com or comfreyroots.com to find all the product listings we have. Thelotsproject.com has a ton of information, recommended products, affiliate companies, and all sorts of stuff like that. I appreciate you watching. It's Monday. It is Monday. I had my rest day yesterday, so it's time to get to it. Get shit done and get the week started off right. I hope everybody had an awesome weekend. I hope you have an awesome Monday. Get it started off right. Get going, and we will catch up with you again tomorrow.